A bunch of people contacted me over the last few days and asked me to address the issue of the kosher switch, which has generated a lot of discussion, which is basically a light switch, which you can, according to the makers, you can use on Shabbos. You can turn on and off your lights on Shabbos. This is really not a new issue. It was a whole tumult about this 5 years ago, and a lot of discussion. And befitting a discussion of this type, most of it is available online and probably nowhere else. But it has generated a lot of new discussion because they went crowdsourcing on a popular platform and they've raised a lot of money just the last few days to mass produce this product. So a lot of people are talking about it. So I'll just give a little summary of this issue, which I'm sure I can't do justice to in 5 minutes. So I won't do justice to it and probably more than 5 minutes. But it's an interesting topic anyway. So first of all, it should be noted that they are, you know, trying to go about this in a, it seems to me, in a serious way. This is not like the Shabbos app, where it was a halachic non-starter. No actual rabbis supported it, and they're basically trying to give off the impression: don't bother asking rabbis, just do it because it feels right. So they have a whole tshuva on the website, the Kosher Switch website, explaining why they think it's mutter. They have actual real live rabbanim who are talmid chacham who have come out and supported it. Nonetheless. I would think that if they're, if you're trying to revolutionize the way people experience Shabbos, which is what they do say they're trying to do, then without hopefully impinging on the covet of any of the rabbanim who have signed on to this, you need like top line poskim, the top line poskim to come out and say that this is something which is acceptable for widespread use, and that level poskim are conspicuously absent from the supporters of widespread household use of the kosher switch. Interestingly enough. If you dig a little bit online, so you find out that the website used to list certain top line poskim as giving their askama, and they were their names were removed after they requested that their names removed and said basically, I don't know why you put us up to begin with. There are a couple of big names that do appear on the website as supporters, but also very questionable if they actually are. So for example, they list Rav Neuwirth as being supporter. He's the author of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. But Rav Rosen, the head of Machon Somet, published a letter where he says, I went to Rav Neuwirth and I said, you supported this for household use? And he was astonished and shocked and said, no, of course not. I only supported it for use in hospitals and the army and the like. And so then on the Kosher Switch website, they didn't take his name off, but they said certain zealous individuals claimed that he didn't support us, but really he did. He hasn't contacted us to take away his askama. But then you have a letter from publicized from Rav Neuwirth saying to the makers of Kosher Switch, please note, I only support this for use in hospitals and military use, and the like. So basically, he's considering it a grama. In any event, okay. Moving on from the issue of, I think it's a significant gap, and this is just a general important point. When you have something like this, so you need to see the top line postgame of the generation. We're going to go ahead and say that it's okay before we revolutionize things and do things which we generally would have previously considered to be usher. So if their very well-written shuva explaining why they think it's mutter is quoting ideas from, Rav Avad Yosef and Rav Asher Weiss, but they don't actually have askamas from Rav Avad Yosef and Rav Asher Weiss, that does raise that question. Let's talk about the actual issue. Why would they think that it would be mutter? Why would anyone think it would be mutter? As I said, there are real rabbanim who have signed on to it. Why would you think it's mutter? How does it work? So basically the idea is like this. It's a switch, which you flick the switch, let's say to turn on the light. And when you flick the switch, nothing happens. The switch is not really attached to anything on the inside, under the cover. So how does it turn on the light? So every 10 to 30 seconds, randomly, there's an electric eye that shoots out a signal. And when the switch is in the off position, it hits the plastic switch. And then it can't turn on the light because it's impeded. And when you put it into the on position, so then X amount of time later, not instantaneously, because there's an indicator light that tells you when it's going to be instantaneous, but not instantaneously, at a certain time later, when it shoots out that signal, so then it won't get blocked by the switch, and then it can turn on the light. Even when that happens, it does not necessarily instantaneously turn on the light, because there's a receptor on the other side which receives that signal and generates a random number, and basically 50% of the time, even when the electric signal goes through, it will not turn on the light. Only 50% of the time, once the electric signal goes through, will it actually end up turning on the light. In theory, theoretically, you know, when you add up 50% possibilities, it could theoretically not turn on the light for a long period of time. But Lamaisa, statistically, that's not really going to happen. And it'll eventually turn on the light within a very short period of time, because it keeps on trying again and again if it doesn't work the first time. So basically, you just flip the switch, you didn't actually accomplish anything. That allows a certain amount of time later, electric signal to be received by a receptor on the other side, which may or may not, but Lamaisa eventually, pretty shortly thereafter, does turn on the light. So this is a very creative solution, which is an improvement over the existing Grumma switches and the like for lights which are in use in many places in hospitals and in the army, and it's a very wonderful and creative solution. So why would anyone be against it? Why would we say not? Rav Rosen makes the argument. He claims that Kach Mikublani from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that however it works inside, whether you're directly causing something to happen or you're just removing an impediment and it happens by itself afterward. Lamaisa, if you do something which directly ends up causing another thing to happen, that's what we call grumma. So, midei grumma lo yatzanu. So what's the din of grumma? So, the din of grumma, the Rama writes in Shin Lamed Daled Siv Beis, is that we allow grumma b'makom hefsed. So if it was a situation of loss, and that's why they allow for medical purposes and army purposes, then there's room to talk about grumma. But beyond that, for just regular household use, because you just like turning on your lights on Shabbos, and you don't want to have to set your Shabbos clock, or maybe you forget once in a while. So that's not, we don't allow grummas in those type of situations. So it doesn't matter how it works on the inside. At the end of the day, you're doing something, a very short time later, the light goes on, that's what we call grumma. It is possible for some to argue that maybe it'd even be worse than, maybe it's not even grumma. So for example, in Orchus Shabbos, in Chel Gimel Chavtes, Per Chavtes, Siv Chavzayin, so he quotes from other Svarim, which are quoted from Rav Yashiv, that he was against all the grumma machines that are very widely used and produced by organizations like Machon Tzomer. He was against all of them, and he claimed that any time that you're making something specifically, where the whole point of it is to be able to turn things on, and that's the whole function of this device, of this gadget, so then by definition it's not grumma. Grumma by definition has to be a sort of makeshift, one-time, like indirect type of a chap. Otherwise, it doesn't count as a grumma. Furthermore, there are those who argue that anything which is the normal way to accomplish something, so by definition is not grumma. Grumma by definition has to be abnormal. So ayin, for example, in the Mishnah Berurah Shinta Zayin Sivkan Yud. So if that would be the case, so once you have widespread distribution of a product like this and everyone starts using it and they want you to use it during the week also, so then this becomes very normal. So we have to figure out what counts as normal, what counts as not normal. Beyond, of course, other side discussions, such as, is it going to be obvious to people that this switch is different than other switches? Is it going to lead to other problems? What about Zilusa de Shabbos, etc.? So Lamaisa, at the end of the day, this is a very nice invention. It probably improves the use of grumma switches in places like hospitals and the army. In terms of household use, I would definitely have reservations until we see from some of the top-line poskim that they are willing to sign on, which has not happened, and I don't expect will happen. Have a great day.